Hey everybody, welcome again to F This Movie, the official podcast of fthismovie.net, movie love for movie lovers. My name is Patrick Bromley, and speaking of lovers, I'm joined this week to talk about The Social Network by my beautiful wife, Erica Bromley.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
This is appropriate that we're talking about The Social Network because you are the most socially networking person that I know.
Really?
You're all about...
The most out of everyone you know?
Oh, for sure.
No
Facebook.
Way.
You're all about Pinterest.
Never.
You're all about Grindr.
Never.
You are constantly on the Grindr, which I think is interesting. It's interesting and something that we should explore, though perhaps not on this movie-related podcast.
Yeah, that should be a different podcast.
Definitely. Okay. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, welcome. Find our website at fthismovie.net. Stick around at the end of the show. I'll tell you other ways you can find us. We're going to be talking about The Social Network from 2010 in just a little bit.
Yay.
It's something that we've talked about doing for a long time, but have never actually done.
We as in...
You and me.
The two of us,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Yeah, we're always like, should we podcast on The Social Network? And you're like, no, we should have dinner. And I'm like, yeah, no, you're right. Should we podcast on The Social Network? No, let's raise our children. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. But tonight, no dinner, no raising of the children. They're making dinner. They're sleeping outside. We're talking about The Social Network.
And do you think they can hear us right now?
I assume that they can.
Okay.
We're podcasting from their bedrooms where they are asleep. We're helicopter parents, everyone. We don't want them out of our sight.
We can run this podcast here. That's fine.
Yeah.
But we're not going to stop watching them in their sleep.
We're the parents, okay? You don't tell us where we podcast with our children.
Our kids are very supportive, though. They'll always say when you go to record a podcast because you'll go down to the basement.
Yes, where we are sitting now, where it's very cold.
It is cold. They always say, oh, good luck on your podcast, Daddy.
It's cute. Sometimes even when I'm not doing a podcast.
Right.
And I'm like, hello, dummy. I'm just going to... I don't call them dummy.
I know.
So we're going to talk about Social Network, but Bew, my love, have you seen anything good lately?
No.
Okay.
I've seen things.
Okay. You saw an Outside Inside movie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That was good.
Okay, yes. I loved Inside Out. Inside Out is great. If you haven't seen Inside Out yet... Listeners, you should definitely see it. Our daughter calls it the Outside Inside movie.
Yes.
It's so cute.
It is cute.
God. Is it cute to other people? Probably not. I'm sorry.
No, but...
But the movie is really good for everyone.
I talked about it a little bit last
week. Did you already?
It's fine.
With
Listen.
Doug? With who?
With Doug.
With
my,
whom?
My other wife, whom? Doug.
Oh, Doug.
But, you know...
Best friends forever.
You are my wife.
Yes.
You took our kids with me.
We did.
You maybe share a different perspective.
It was so fun. It was so cute. It was our daughter's first time at the movie theater.
Yes.
And actually just today, we were looking at some pictures on my phone from when we went. And she got really excited and said, I want to go there again. Inside, outside movie. Outside, inside. And it was
Could we just
cute.
Take her to see Jurassic World instead?
No. But lots of parents are bringing their three-year-olds, and that's fine if they want to do that. But
to each their own.
Yes.
I'm glad that her first movie was Outside Inside movie because
so
she will forever remind me of Joy, like the little Joy character.
Right.
Every time I watch it, that's to me, that's Rosie.
Oh, she's so sweet. Although she can't say sadness.
No.
And she has a great vocabulary, and she articulates things very well. Usually, she can't say sadness, and she keeps calling... Samuses.
Yeah.
Oh, so cute.
She's decided that I'm Samuses.
You know, obviously a lot of the plot went over her head, but it didn't matter because it was cute and colorful.
The plot did, and yet the metaphors didn't,
right.
Which
no,
I was
she's
amazed
very
by.
Smart,
yeah,
right,
she's all
yeah.
about that deeper reading.
Right. Our kids are so smart. I mean, they really get it.
That's
your
us.
Kids are cute, but...
Anything besides Outside Inside movie?
Do people know we're kidding?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, they've been listening to the show for 5 years.
All sarcasm all the time.
Yeah, no, they're familiar with the podcast.
So that movie was really good.
Yes, it was.
It was fun, and we shared a lot of popcorn. And
we didn't actually share a lot of popcorn because our son ate most of it.
Charlie ate most of it, yeah. Okay, I take that back.
Kid can put away mad popcorn.
Like, long before we saw Inside Out, you and I saw Aloha. I'm sure you've talked about that.
I don't even know if I did, honestly, because I wrote that thing.
Because you started to talk about it, and then you were like...
Yeah, because I was all just like, wah.
Okay.
I didn't like Aloha, wah.
Rachel McAdams is so pretty.
That is part of my review. Yes. So I didn't, I don't know if I ever talked about it on a podcast.
Well,
maybe I
did. I don't know. Yeah, you wrote that thing and that thing was good.
Thanks.
So if you want to know more about Aloha, look up
Read
Patrick's
thing. Yeah.
Patrick Bromley Aloha.
Just
movie.
Google Patrick Bromley's thing.
That's going to show something else.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
We also saw Dope.
Are we talking about my dick pics?
No. Oh, my God.
They're all over the internet.
Are you allowed to say that on the podcast?
I think so.
Oh, my gosh.
It has that little...
This
like,
podcast is totally different than it used to be.
When you go to iTunes, it has that little thing about, like, the explicit language.
Does it really?
We don't swear as much as we used to.
No, you don't.
Unless I get, like, on a roll, and then...
Like you're talking about Aloha?
And then forget it. Oh, if I were to talk about Aloha, I would start to freak out.
All the four-letter words.
And curse. We saw Dope. What did you think of Dope?
That's
I feel like you liked
word.
Dope more than I did.
I think I did like it more than you did, but... Not a whole lot more.
Okay.
I really loved the
performances. Is this our first fight?
Yeah,
okay.
It is. Oh, my gosh. What do we do?
The performances
Can
were
we
good.
Can we make up afterwards?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Dick pics.
The performances were good. I liked
yes.
the main actor.
Yes.
I'm blanking his name right now.
It's okay.
It's with an M, right?
Sure.
He was really good. I liked a lot of what the movie was trying to do and trying to say and trying to be. I liked the tone of the movie. But overall, I feel like it was the parts didn't all come together. So in the end, it left me, I don't know, feeling not completely satisfied. Kind of like those pictures you were talking about earlier. What? Just kidding.
I am burnt.
Yeah, burnt.
I'm trying to find his name and it's not coming up because Why? For some reason on IMDb... they're
it
not listed
alphabetical not by
I don't know they're not
by...
listed yeah by like hi I'm the main character
I have all the lines
and so I should be
I'm
billed
in almost every scene
first
I feel like his name starts with an M. This is really interesting for the listeners, so listeners, while you're waiting for us to look up his name, I want you to think about what kind of cookies I could make for a future podcast.
Shameik Moore?
Yes.
Okay.
I knew it had an M. Moore. See? See? What's up?
That's kind
up?
Of a reach.
What?
But
no.
Whatever.
It was in there. It's in there twice, technically.
Anything besides Inside, Outside, Inside, and Dope?
Yes. We watched Cake.
Yeah, we did.
Cake came out last year.
Yeah,
Jennifer
it did.
Aniston got some buzz.
Yeah, she did.
And now that I've seen the movie. Really,
yeah, you did.
Really after the fact. I'm glad she didn't get nominated for an Oscar. I don't know what that whole campaign was about or who was pushing
would
for that.
It, but would it have changed your opinion of the Oscars?
No.
Okay.
No. But...
had they nominated her, I would have watched it and been like, she probably didn't deserve that, but who does?
Everyone's like, oh, it's so brave to not wear makeup in a movie. Like,
by the
oh,
way,
okay.
It was super brave.
Right.
Super brave.
My life has changed. I thought the movie was...
Dudes who run into burning buildings are like, listen, what I do is so small compared to you not wearing makeup in this movie.
Right. Well, now with HD.
Ooh, good point.
Right. So it's even more brave.
It's super brave.
I thought that it was a movie. It was period.
Yeah. I did not like it.
No. I didn't either. I was shocked that it was still going while it was going.
She's fine. Like,
right.
She's not bad.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, she's not bad.
She is playing a miserable character who's unhappy, who has
right.
experienced tragedy,
and
who
it's
is
really,
in constant
really,
pain.
Really, really sad. It's horrible. That's horrible.
She's miserable all the
right.
time.
It's horrible.
And not just because she's not wearing makeup.
Right.
Actually, I think she doesn't wear makeup because she's miserable. I think
okay.
the first time I read it the other way around that she was miserable because she couldn't afford makeup.
Okay.
But I think I misread the movie.
Yeah. You.
Your thoughts?
You're confused.
It is like the textbook that movie.
Yeah, like, right. Like screenwriter.
Even the title
practice
when you finally
in
find out.
Screenwriting class.
Yes, when you finally find out what the title is and you're just like.
Right. It's almost like the. Oh my gosh, why am I blanking on the movie? Sunshine, Little Miss Sunshine. What's that movie?
Little Miss Sunshine?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like the tragic and sad Little Miss Sunshine.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't have like the heartwarming
sense?
Comedy.
Right,
it
no.
just has like the wah.
Right, But it has it in a way that is so now just done.
And again, you know, I don't want to label movies as like, well, that's awards bait. But there are certainly aspects of the film that seem not engineered to like win awards, but it's like, well, if it happens, great, because it's a very showy part, mm-hmm. you know?
Sure. I think sometimes people who work on movies or who write movies get ideas, right? And they come up with something that they think is really great and clever or, I don't know. And then they write that into a script and it's great. Anyone would do that, right? If I was a screenwriter and I came up with this thing that I thought, oh, here's how I'm going to film this scene, and it would be really cutesy or clever, and you want that to go into your next screenplay or whatever. But it doesn't always work. I feel like sometimes these movies have ideas that they were just so happy they thought of it that they stuck sure. it into that script that they were working on, even if maybe it sure. wasn't. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense. I did not see as much of what you're describing in this okay. movie.
You but you know seen, what I mean, right?
Well, you haven't seen Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, which no, is just not yet. Filled with like, I have this idea for a shot.
Right.
So what if it's 100% at odds with the story that I'm telling? Okay. I'm going to use this shot anyway because look at me. I'm the director.
Right. My friend Kelly Morgan was just telling me that she read the book and she really liked
name dropper.
She really liked the book, so she wants to see the film. So
you guys should go. It's so okay. good. yeah, Cake is weird. It's like one of those things where there's not necessarily one thing that you could point to as like, this is bad, this is bad.
Right.
I mean, I was irritated by certain aspects of it, but it's not like anything is incompetent or bad. It's that like when you put all of these pieces together, it just feels like it was made at the Studio Indie Factory.
Yes, right.
The music, the last song comes on at the end, and we're like, oh, it's the little, right, it's the course. Quirky ukulele cover right. of this other pop song.
Right,
like,
right. Of course.
Of course it's
right,
this.
Of course.
Sam Worthington does show up. And so, yes, there were scenes that kept my attention.
Okay, so you want everything to feature anyone from Avatar?
I'm not. Listen, it doesn't have to. I'm just saying,
but if it
is
does,
it bad if it does?
Better.
Exactly.
For you.
I prefer that they show up as their Na'vi characters. Right. Like, Cake would have been a kick-ass movie
right.
if the guy that she was talking to was a Na'vi.
Was blue.
Was Jake Sully, the Na'vi.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about
What's
his
up?
Name. No, nothing.
How could
nothing.
You forget Jake Sully?
Oh.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. I'm so sorry.
I have it tattooed.
This is our second fight.
Man, this podcast is getting ugly. I don't have that much to talk about.
I hope we make it to the end.
We talked about Cake.
Yeah.
And most of the other movies I've been watching. By the way, we're recording this with one day left in Junesploitation. By the time this podcast comes out, Junesploitation will have ended. I somehow made it to the end. All of you who have participated have somehow made it to the end.
Woohoo!
I'm amazed at the number of movies everyone has watched. It has been so, so great to read. Thank you, my wife, for putting up with me during this month.
I love you.
I tried to be good, and only a few times did I have to be like, I have to excuse myself and go downstairs to watch some
right,
weird
no.
canon movie at 10 o'clock Friday night.
I was waiting until you finished whatever speech you're giving right now,
yeah.
but I wanted to interrupt
you. It doesn't
you.
End.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
okay.
just I like... have to do this. That's what the podcast is. It's just me talking. If I stop, there's nothing. Go ahead.
Okay. but I wanted to interrupt and say that you, I don't know if the people know like what you do.
Pull back the curtain,
how...
babe.
Yeah, right?
Do it.
We should... Can we make a visual with this podcast?
No.
No. Okay. but you just have been so great about fitting it in and making sure to read everybody's comments and to watch a movie every single day, despite the fact that you're like just super involved with our kids and like,
yeah, but they were watching these movies with me.
Good. Wait, why is that? Why the kids have been so like moody and violent lately?
Yes, but okay. they also have such an appreciation for Italian
yeah.
cannibal films
oh,
that
yeah.
they did not have
right.
before.
And they picked up a little bit of the language, so it's cool. It's
right?
educational. Yeah,
you have. I mean. Hearing our three-year-old daughter say Umberto Lenzi is like one of the cutest things I've ever heard, ever. One of her first movies ever, for real, by the way, was Shogun Assassin, everyone, just so you know. And I constantly remind Erica
yes.
of that.
She does. It came up today, earlier today. Well, she was what, like a newborn?
Yeah, yeah. She was just born, and I would stay up with her all night. Right. And we
because
watched,
he's the best person ever.
We watched Shogun Assassin, and I don't think any of it stuck, but part of me hopes it did. So I've watched like Junesploitation stuff. I only subjected you to a few. You got to see Class of 1984.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to see Savage Streets, which I talked about last week.
Was that the one with boobs?
Yes. Okay. There were boobs. That was the one with the crazy shower fight where like... The two main characters were fighting, but then behind them were two randoms.
Oh, wow. Totally. That was crazy movie. What? Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Savage Streets, baby.
Oh, what? That was... Okay.
It's great. So I'll talk about two quick movies.
Wait, what about that Italian one?
Italian
where they all had like American names in the credits, but really his name was like Giancarlo.
Oh, you watched a lot of the new Barbarians. Okay. Yes. Okay. And you were fascinated by the fact that I liked it. She kept saying like, so just explain to me like,
right, I really
you're getting something out of this. And not in like a, not in a.
No, I really wanted to understand because I know that
that was our that was our first fight.
Oh my God.
No, I appreciate you wanting to know who I am. Thank you.
Yeah.
I watched for the first time in 25 years because I'm very, very old.
That's longer than we've been together.
It is, but not much.
I know.
a movie called I, Madman, which came out in like 1989. It's directed by Tibor Takacs, who made The Gate.
Okay.
And Scream Factory is putting it out on Blu-ray. I watched it when I was like 11 or 12 because my parents... on New Year's Eve would regularly rent like three movies. And it was one of my favorite nights of the year because we got to stay up super late and watch movies. It was like, hey, here's one night where everyone's doing the thing that I want to do. And I saw The Burbs that way. Aww. I saw Dead Calm that way. I remember a lot of the movies that
How
we watched.
How old were you for Dead Calm?
I mean, Dead Calm probably came out in like 89. Okay. So I would have been 12.
Okay.
I was able to handle it.
Okay.
I definitely thought Nicole Kidman was a babe. so... The problem was everyone in our suburb would apparently do the same thing because the movies were all gone.
Right.
By the time you go on December 31st, like, let's rent our movies for the night. Oh, wait, there's nothing left except Where the Heart Is with Dabney Coleman.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was a New Year's Eve movie one year. So we got I, Madman, which is like, what is this movie? Nobody wanted to watch it. I think by the time it went on, everybody was asleep. I wanted to see it because it looked kind of like a horror movie, but I remember it just going way over my head and being like, this is boring. What the hell's going on? Haven't seen it in 25 years, so Scream Factory is putting out. It's actually really awesome. Like, I really, really liked it, rewatching it. So when that disc comes out, everyone should buy it, because that movie's way better than I remember it being, and I really, really liked it. And then on Netflix, and I did not subject you to this. I think this was probably, like, late one night when I was working, and you were already asleep.
Okay.
I watched a movie called The Walking Deceased.
Okay.
Now, this is one of those parody movies. Can you guess what it's a parody of?
Walking Dead?
It, you know what it is. Because what they did was they changed the word dead to another word that means dead.
Right.
And now it's funny. Now it's a funny movie.
Is it?
No. No, it isn't.
I didn't think so.
It's like, it's just as bad as all of those Friedberg Seltzer garbage parodies. It's like they work in Walking Dead and Zombieland and that one. Oh my god.
Do you have to actually watch
Warm Bodies?
Or if you watch the trailers, is that enough?
Yeah, you will not laugh in the trailers as much as you will not laugh in the movie. At one point they cut to a title card and I think it said like 29 days later. And I laughed for 5 minutes. I remember
so
you came
funny.
Home with the bag of groceries with the top of the celery sticking out and a baguette of bread also sticking out
because
you walked home.
That's how we
with
come home from the grocery store.
I know. And I was still laughing. Bread. You said, what are you laughing at? I was like 29 days later. And you got it.
Right.
And you knew why it was funny to me.
So funny.
It's insanely unfunny. Although I will say, Dave Sheridan, I think is his name. He's an actor who's in it. And he was in... I think the Scary Movie, the original Scary Movie, he played the David Arquette part of like Deputy Doofy, I think was whatever.
Okay.
So he's in the movie and he's in his own movie. Like there's a terrible, terrible parody garbage movie going on around him. And then he's in this other movie where he's trying to be funny. And so he's playing like the Andrew Lincoln character from Walking Dead. And he's kind of making fun of Andrew Lincoln and his like forced American accent, and he's very quick to shoot at things, which isn't funny until at one point he has to go to the bathroom and he takes a number two in the toilet, stands up, turns around, and just starts firing a gun at his poo in the toilet. And that genuinely made me laugh. I can't defend it, but that did. So if you ever want to see a man shoot his own poo, check out The Walking Deceased, or I think sometimes it's called Walking with the Dead.
Oh, well, they added a word.
I can't keep track of the title, but it's on Netflix Instant for you to not watch as soon as possible.
You know what else is on Netflix Instant?
What?
Oh, Jojo.
And the new season of Orange is the New Black, which we got we got through that.
Yes, we did.
But we don't really talk about TV on
here.
We
don't, I know.
Sorry, Cake. Should we tell people to watch Cake?
So there's this movie Cake with Jennifer Aniston.
I hear she doesn't wear makeup.
We should talk about that for longer because I think people are really interested.
Oh, movies. Aww. You're the worst.
Movies.
Movies make me not like movies.
No, there's so many movies we love, though.
True.
Let's
I got to see a lot of them.
Let's do another podcast about movies we love.
Hey,
oh.
Speaking of movies we love,
yeah?
Should we talk about The Social Network?
Yes.
Hey, if you guys haven't seen The Social Network or read the story of Facebook... we're going to be spoiling aspects of The Social Network, but I think that's safe. It's based in real life. I won't say it's based on true events, but it's based in real life and came out in 2010.
Yes.
So you probably had a chance to see it by now.
It still seems so new to me, though. And it was 5 years ago.
It was 5 years ago. Isn't that
oh
crazy?
My gosh.
By the way, this movie, which I was sure was going to like sweep the Academy Awards.
Ugh.
I thought, this is Social Network's year. This is David Fincher's year.
Ugh.
This is a movie about the times that we live in.
Yes.
Universally acclaimed. Not universally. There were critics who didn't like it. A lot of people liked it. I thought for sure, like, this is going to win the Best Picture. And then it was The Artist instead.
Oh.
So instead of something current, they went with something very, very old.
No offense to The Artist, but, you know.
Well, again.
Have we talked about The Artist that much since The Artist?
No. No one remembers.
Someone has somewhere. I know.
Sure,
but
people like
fans.
It, but
right.
Nobody is like, oh, yeah, The Artist won Best Picture in 2010. Unless it's to, like, point out what it beat that it shouldn't have. So when they announced that they were making the Facebook movie,
okay.
And we didn't really know what it was, right? At the time, I think everybody's reaction was kind of like, what? That's dumb.
I remember when we saw the trailer for the first time in the theater. And it's
the
got
one with
that
the Radioheads
great,
on?
Great, yeah, like the kids' choir singing.
Okay, now, if you like covers of familiar songs,
yeah,
you're going to check out this movie called Cake.
Because
in the closing credits, there's that song Halo. By Jordan Sparks, but this is like a quirky
halo. Yeah.
And I...
Can you...
They change all the lyrics so that it's about not wearing makeup. you know, a lot of us were like, what? Really? You're going to make a movie about the creation of Facebook? Not because, like, don't make a movie of Facebook. It seemed so new. Like, it was weird to be making a movie that documented something that had just happened, you know, and that's dumb because movies do it all the time. Oliver Stone made W while Bush was still in office, and Zero Dark Thirty was about events that had happened, you know, very, very recently.
Right.
So Social Network is not the first movie, but I think a lot of us were just like, what, a movie about Facebook? And then they start announcing, you know, well, David Fincher's directing it and Aaron Sorkin's writing it and here's who's in the cast. And all of a sudden it becomes very, very difficult to dismiss it because it has such a pedigree, you know.
Right.
So we saw it, and I think we both liked it a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
I remember you and I saw it opening night, and yeah. I remember being in a theater full of people who were there for a movie about Facebook.
Right.
Who very quickly became bored when they realized it was a movie about smart people talking,
right.
And not just, I don't know, characters clicking like on things.
Sure.
Or what, it was like a lot of young people, and I think that most of them bailed about halfway
really?
Through the movie. Yeah.
Oh,
I remember that. Yeah.
But then since then I talked to so many people who were like, you know, sort of surprised by how interested in it they became. Going back really quickly, when we saw the trailer, do you remember that? Like
I remember the trailer.
I loved the trailer. I thought it was so, I don't know, like the interesting and the tone of it, like with that song, I thought it just worked so well for, you know, here's a movie that's gonna probably show like some ugly truths about
yeah.
the creation of Facebook, you know, or whatever.
Yeah,
and I didn't really
like
know much else, but now
having
seen
the movie,
you're
like,
oh,
that trailer's
yes,
pretty spot on
yes,
in terms
I've,
of establishing what the tone
right,
of the movie is
right,
gonna be.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I really hadn't seen it then since then. It had been almost 5 years until the other night when we watched it. And we got like probably 2/3 of the way also through the documentary about the making of Facebook, which comes on the Blu-ray. And I remember Alex Lawson talking about it on a podcast a long time ago called like, I can't believe they made a movie of Facebook,
right,
or
right.
How did they make a movie? I don't remember what it was. So we watched about 2/3 of that documentary. We rewatched the movie, and it was the first time I'd seen it in like 5 years. But you have seen it a whole bunch of times
because
you show it in a class.
I do.
And it has become like, I don't want to speak out of turn.
Okay.
I feel like this
then
has.
Don't.
Whoa. All right, then. You have the floor.
No, go ahead.
We're holding hands across the desk,
we are,
just so you guys know.
Right now, we're so.
I don't want to speak out of turn, but I feel like this has become one of your favorite movies.
It kind of has.
Okay. You don't have to feel weird about that.
No, and then watching it again.
I mean,
the
it's
other
only
night.
5 years old, so it's weird that like a movie that's so recent. Because one of your other favorite movies, if I'm not mistaken, is Cake.
Well, what have I seen most recently?
That's exactly.
Like, last weekend, Inside Out. It's one of
Ted
my favorite
2
movies ever.
Came out, and Ted 2 is my favorite
oh
movie.
My God.
This is a legitimate phenomenon among young people.
Yes. That sometimes you ask them, what's your favorite movie? And they tell you like what they saw last weekend. Which maybe, I don't
at
know.
Least
I mean,
50%
I really,
of them will say Fast
I
and
really
Furious
liked
7.
Inside Out a lot.
Yeah,
I've
right.
thought about it a lot since seeing it. I thought it said a lot of great things in a smart way, and yet it was still sweet and clever and entertaining, and I laughed and I cried and whatever, but I'm not prepared to say like, oh yeah, the movie I just saw is on my best ever list, but yeah, it
yeah.
seems to be. Anyway, okay, so Social
By the
work,
way, now
yeah,
when
I
hear that,
social...
I hear that song like See You Again, you know?
Oh yeah.
I think of Bing Bong. Social Network, go ahead.
Social Network.
Somebody should start making Bing Bong memes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
F this movie related?
By the way, like in 2015, I could say Bing Bong memes, and you're like, yeah, because those are words that an adult said that another adult understood. That's where we're at, everyone. Anyway, Social Network, go ahead.
Okay. I'm distracted by your hand-holding. Okay. So, yeah,
it's
Social
also
Network.
How I distract Doug.
I knew it. I've seen it, yeah, quite a few times now the past 5 years. And every time I watch it, I'm sort of taken aback by something that I feel it does right. Like sometimes I'm just focused on the music and I think the music is so perfect. Sometimes I'm just focused on the photography. Like something as stupid sound, this probably sounds stupid, as like when they're in the scenes with the depositions and the lawyers, and there's just so many over the shoulder shots, and you might in another movie say, oh gosh, that's so repetitive, or why, and I don't know, and to me it just works because you really you're in this movie and you feel you're there's so much to get, there's so much to understand, the dialogue and computer coding stuff and whatever, and switching between many different timelines, and we'll talk more about that later, but that's something that confuses a lot of people. I've even had a few students who have said at the end, very rare, but they'll say like, you know, I just kept getting confused because I'm like, what timeline is this? And
I mean, the first one or two times,
right, no.
I understand it because everyone right. says like, whoa, wait, what? And then you
right.
figure it out.
And then you figure it out. I know.
He's wearing a different shirt.
Right.
I guess we're in this deposition.
But he's wearing probably
the
Winkle
by aren't
the same
here.
Flip-flops.
We're in this deposition. Whatever.
Right. No. I know. But wait, where was I going with that?
That every time you notice something different.
Yeah. So just something as simple as like the use of those shots making you feel like you're really like getting the room, if that makes sense. Like
mm-hmm.
that you're understanding like kind of like the back and forth and the reactions to each other that people are having. And so I love the photography. I love the performances are great. And then the dialogue. So, oh my gosh, so much to talk about. Aaron Sorkin's script. You know, Aaron Sorkin has his Sorkin ways.
Yeah.
And
which is a new podcast coming up from the F This Movie family. We're mm-hmm. on a network now. And we're one okay. podcast coming up. It's called Sorkin Ways.
Hashtag Sorkin Ways.
Yeah.
If anyone wants
we
to
We record
that
it while walking together down a very long hallway, just talking to each other very quickly,
right.
proselytizing our liberal viewpoints.
Right. But with a little bit of flirting.
Yeah, of course. No, yeah. always
okay.
a little bit of flirting. But like the girl's
right.
always a bit daffy.
Right.
Bit of adult, bit of
right.
a klutz.
But the guy likes it.
He does. He's charmed by
yeah.
it, ultimately, because he's smarter than her.
Sometimes he gets frustrated.
Sure, yeah. No, listen, who
yeah.
among us doesn't? So we have our issues with Aaron Sorkin, right?
We
made it
right,
through an entire season of The Newsroom
oh
before I said, fuck this.
No, we love so much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like, in theory, but in theory, it's
okay.
just in practice that it doesn't...
What in theory do... I mean...
like the message and the politics.
Well, that's the thing. It's like they're saying things that I agree with, but I'm so revolted by the way that it's being said and how much it panders to even those of us who are like, yeah, we're on your side. But like, don't rewrite yourself as being the person who knew all this because you're reporting on things that happened 4 years ago. Like he always gets to be on the right side of history.
Right.
We're getting off topic.
Yeah. We're talking about the newsroom now.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorkin ways.
Sorkin ways.
No, but his script is very Sorkin, but it's like a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? Not subdued. A little bit, not watered down, because that has a negative connotation.
Why does it work here?
I don't know.
I was going to say, because he's writing in a context where everyone is smart, right? Everyone's allowed to be smart because he's writing about
people who go to Harvard.
People who go to Harvard. Geniuses, you know, like legitimate geniuses.
Right.
And so I was going to say that, but like, that's one of the things about his writing is that he writes every character smart. And one of the issues that, you know, many of us have with some of his writing is like, well, everyone talks like Aaron Sorkin. Mm-hmm. And yet I don't notice it as much in The Social Network.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a little bit...
Even though all the characters kind of do talk the same way, right?
Right. Well, they
I don't know why it works here.
They're all Harvard students or lawyers. Like, they're all very smart.
Or Justin Timberlake.
Geniuses. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But
the script works.
It's a great script.
On so many levels. And the more I watch it, the more I find these certain lines that, to me, solidify it as being the movie in between two, like, generations, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or, like, just... our former life and the current life, where like,
how so? Do you have an example you can think of?
Former life, we didn't all have to be connected and didn't all have to check in and didn't all have to be communicating in a certain way. And now, I mean, sure, there are lots of people who are like, I don't do social media, or I barely go on my computer or whatever. But are there lots of people like that
who go on social media?
No, who don't go.
Yeah, and I'm sure, yeah.
No, but also who don't really use a computer. I mean, I feel like any job.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The majority, though. The majority now. It's changed. Like, I wish I could think of some of the lines that are specific to what I'm trying to say.
But I don't think the movie...
Like, Erica has one. Erica Albright.
Yes. Rooney Mara?
Yes.
Yeah.
She has that line when they're in the bar and he tries to sort of apologize to her, but he doesn't really. And she says something... about going to the internet where the something make their snide. Oh my gosh, what's this quote?
It's a very Aaron Sorkin line.
Yes, it is. It is.
But just
that's
hearing...
where the angry go nowadays to.
Yeah. Well, but see, I don't feel like the movie really, for as much as I want to say, like, what's this touchstone movie? It captures this, you know, point in our history because it's about the creation of social media, and MySpace existed before, but it really does feel like Facebook was the jumping off point for most people, you know, because MySpace was high school kids and stand-up comics and
bands,
and then Facebook became everyone, you know. So I don't feel like it really explores the appeal of Facebook. I don't think it really ever does explain why it's so popular necessarily. I mean, I think it reduces it to a few base ideas, but what I think it does is it captures someone who understood the desire for it.
Right.
So I don't think it necessarily like speaks to, hey, why does everyone love this thing? Mm-hmm. I think it just speaks to, but at least it recognizes that there was somebody who knew, oh, this could be a thing.
Right.
Because ultimately I think it does reduce it kind of to like, people want to use it to meet
girls.
Yeah, that's, see who's single, and it's like that is certainly a use for it, right? Look how popular Tinder is, and that's literally all it's for, right?
Right.
By the way, have you ever like seen Tinder? Have you ever seen somebody on Tinder?
I
never have. I have no idea what it looks like.
One person once showed me sort of her Tinder app. Is it an app?
You should out that person. I think it is, but I've never seen it.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
digression. Well, I'm glad neither of us are on it.
Earlier, you were making Grindr references.
True.
Have we seen Grindr?
No, but at least I know what it is.
Yeah. Well,
and I question why you're always on it.
How about Zanga?
Zanga's a thing. I remember Zanga. Holy cow.
Friendster.
Okay.
Wait. Hold on. Go back to your point.
Going back.
The internet, social media.
The internet. By the way, have you guys seen The Net?
It's
one of the best movies of the 90s.
Okay. Okay. What's the line that Justin Timberlake says?
He's like, you know what's cooler than bringing on down Omeletteville?
A billion Omeletteville.
Exactly.
No, he says something about...
He doesn't even say $1 billion in the movie, by the way. That was in all the marketing, but in the movie it cuts to
Eduardo,
Spider-Man saying it.
Yes,
yeah.
Right. Which I like.
He's all like, $1 billion.
Oh my gosh, no.
On
he doesn't...
Spider-Man.
I think they're all so perfect for their roles.
He's terrific, and he breaks your heart.
Yes, and they're just all so good for what they're doing. Like they're,
and yet the movie plays all these games where it's being told from three totally different perspectives,
right?
Mm-hmm. And Aaron Sorkin claims that that was sort of his in. That was what interested him, because we'll have to address this movie's relationship to facts,
right? Well,
in a little bit,
okay. But some are there and some are not.
Correct.
Okay.
But he knew that there were, you know, multiple lawsuits going on.
Right.
And so he tries to tell this story of basically these three, is it three lawsuits? Only two lawsuits, I guess, right? Winklevoss v. Zuckerberg.
Right. And then
Saverin v. Zuckerberg.
Right. Because the other thing that it cuts to early on is when he...
Is the actual creation
broke
of...
the Harvard internet.
Right. So you have... The Saverin perspective, the Andrew Garfield character. You have the Winklevi perspective, Army Winklevi. Hammer times two.
Oh, my gosh.
Take it easy. And the Zuckerberg perspective. And I feel like the movie is really only sympathetic towards Eduardo Saverin. Like, he's never really made out to be any kind of villain. And, I mean, really, the Winklevi aren't either.
Yeah. No.
And yet they are just by who they are.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like they're rich and they're entitled and they're upper class. I mean, there's a shot in which Max Minghella first sees
who
that,
also is great.
He is no
I
everyone
he's perfect as
everyone
yeah.
is good. At delivering Aaron Sorkin dialogue. Although I wonder why Rashida Jones is in the movie. And she's not bad, but she does deliver one of the worst lines in the movie, which we talked about the other night. It's right at the end where they try to sum up the thesis of the movie where she says, like, you're not an asshole, you're just trying so hard to be.
Right.
But I think that flies in the face of everything we've seen in the movie. Everything we've seen in the movie is that, yes, he is an asshole and is incapable of not being an asshole.
Right, and I don't think he was trying so hard to be.
No.
I think he didn't know how not to be because, and again, there's a
I
lot
think he
written
literally
about
was
that
incapable
he has,
of
right,
not
right.
The character in this movie, when we talk about this is important to note.
Right.
We are at no point talking about the actual Mark Zuckerberg because I don't think this movie necessarily has a ton of relation to the actual Mark Zuckerberg, except that both created Facebook.
I know him personally.
Oh.
And so.
You should have him over.
Yeah. No, right. We're talking about the movie versions. Although, correct me if I'm wrong. Patrick.
Yeah, that's weird.
I never call you by your first name.
She usually calls me John Hamm. Go ahead. Correct you if you're wrong.
Gosling. Yes.
Correct you if you're wrong.
Or listeners. But I think that a lot of the dialogue in the court related scenes is like verbatim from court documents, right?
I don't know
or
that to be true.
I thought, I don't know, or they used a lot of the documents and the deposition and just, I don't know, took directly from that. That's what I
thought. Well, Sorkin claims that he did a lot of his own independent research because the book, the movie is based on a book.
The Accidental
Billionaires by Ben Mezrich.
Okay.
But the movie and the book were essentially being written at the same time. It's not like Sorkin read the book and then adapted it into a movie. They were essentially being written at the same time.
Okay.
So they exist almost independently of each other.
Okay.
So he claims he did a lot of independent research. Now, how much of that dialogue came from real depositions, I don't know.
Okay. Unless, I thought I had read that somewhere.
It's very possible, but it does seem like that would require all of those characters to also talk like Aaron Sorkin. And I don't know that they do.
Right.
I don't. Anyway. Right. We're like five steps removed. So it's being told from all these different perspectives. So Max Minghella first finds out that their idea has been ripped off, essentially.
Right.
And he stands up. They're in like an a cappella concert.
Right.
And the movie's kind of goofing on Harvard traditions. Like
so much of this movie.
Sorkin seems to have a little chip on his shoulder about Harvard. Because he gets up and he starts to walk and he falls down. And it's like this goofy pratfall. Mm-hmm. And I sat there for a second and thought, well, what's the point of that? To squeeze in a laugh where there wasn't one? Or is this Aaron Sorkin and David Fincher, who has a chip on his shoulder about everything, just fucking with upper class Harvard people? You know what I mean? Like, right. Just embarrassing the guy for 1 second because they can.
Right. I didn't think that, though.
But why else is it in there?
Maybe just to show his, like, sort of complete shock and
I guess, but isn't that communicated when he, like, walks away with the laptop and then turns around and hands it back? Like, does he have to fall down?
About the fact that there were cords, more cords back then. They had to plug in.
Slip on a banana peel.
They weren't just on their tablets.
And yet, for as much as I think the movie sometimes is mocking certain aspects of Harvard, and we had commented the other night about...
Well, I just think there's a lot of, like, the juxtaposition between old money and new money.
Right.
Or, you know, a lot of the scenes with Armie Hammer, the Winklevi twins, the Winklevoss twins. It's, you know, something related to their father's business. Their father has a lawyer that they can call...
And sue him in federal court.
Oh my God, I love
that. Doug and I still threaten to sue each other in federal court pretty regularly.
Yeah, so between like that old money and like rowing crew. And right. I said to you, like, when in Illinois, when is anyone talking about the importance of rowing crew? I mean, I know that there's people, I'm sure, especially like in the North Shore of Chicago or something, but it's not so relevant. But like, no. At Harvard, it's like this thing that even Mark Zuckerberg, you know, talks about because he knows guys in the row crew. They, you know,
in the movie, yes.
Right, right.
He
in the movie, right.
Jealous of the people who row right. crew.
But so there's a lot of these little examples of sort of like the old money, the Harvard traditions. And then in the beginning, when it sets up the social life in the fraternities and the clubs.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, and, where it's cutting back right, and forth.
And
between,
the rest
like,
of these guys are super smart, and they're staying at home pretty much every night and on the weekends. And they're still drinking and hanging out, and they're doing like playing video games, watching movies, doing stupid stuff on the computer. They're the ones who end up creating these things that have changed our world.
Right.
In a way. I mean, not necessarily for the better. I don't know. Like, changing the world sounds so...
But it's true. They did.
Right,
I mean,
right,
they absolutely
yeah.
did. And so for as much as I want to say that the movie kind of is trying to take the piss out of Harvard types, you know, it is still saying like, yeah, but these geniuses who did kind of change the world mm-hmm. also came out of this system.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that in that sequence specifically, and we commented on it the other night, where you're seeing these parties, people are drinking, girls are kissing. It's like this big, because they're entitled right. and they're rich, and this is what they're doing at Harvard. And then they cut to Mark Zuckerberg and his friends coding
right.
and ordering pizza and all that
right.
stuff. And I know that David Fincher, I don't know this, that's not fair. I suspect... From what I know about David Fincher and from my reading of the film, that David Fincher considers himself of the Zuckerberg camp, that he
sure.
is an innovator, that he is not an outcast, but an introvert who is all about pushing forward, doing work. You know, he doesn't identify with the rich, spoiled kids
sure,
who
right.
are having their party.
Yeah.
So I wanted to say, like, he kind of is mocking a lot of the kind of rich, entitled people at Harvard. And yet, at the same time, and I don't know if this line is supposed to be sympathetic, but one of the things that I really like about particularly the Winklevoss storyline is that there are a lot of other movies where they would really be made into the villains, right? Because
right.
they're handsome
right.
and they're super rich
right.
and they're jocks.
Right.
And they could be
they have everything
bullies.
Going for them.
Exactly.
Right.
They have everything going for them. And they really could be villains. And while to a certain degree they are villains in the movie because they're suing the main character,
right.
One, they kind of have a point.
Mm-hmm.
And two, there's that great scene where one of them says
right.
like we're gentlemen of Harvard, and for as much
right.
as we want to be like psh, that's lame
right.
like they mean it and
right.
it they believe it
yeah
and that's important to them and it's I it's not a lifestyle that I would ever subscribe to
right.
I don't understand even 1/100th of where they're coming from, but when he says that
right.
you buy it
right and I do feel for them in that moment too
yeah.
because and I know no one wants to you're not going to feel sympathy for these guys who have had everything handed to them, even though they're still super smart and they work hard. Great point too.
Average,
they're
great, right? Right.
Like, so they really have everything going for them. But because of that, they've often probably had to defend themselves against, like, oh, you just got it because of your dad, and
they are stuck in a position
where they will seem like the bully.
But they're stuck in a position where they can't do the things. They can't take the actions that they can't take the actions that they want to take that almost anyone else would take, mm-hmm. because they feel, at least one of them feels, mm-hmm. obliged to live by a code. Mm-hmm. And so his hands are kind of tied, and you do kind of feel sympathy for him. You're like, well, you could be the lesser person and go down this road, but you're trying to be the bigger person, you know, even if it's by subscribing to what we might consider outdated ideals, you know.
Is this a good time to talk about the fact that...
It's always a good time.
Hi. Josh Pence?
JP, sure, yeah.
JP.
My man, J. Pence.
Is that his name, Josh Pence?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Josh Pence is an actor.
What? Stop right there.
Who, from what I have gathered, was hired to play one of the Winklevoss twins.
Right.
And he did. And then they replaced his face.
Right.
I mean.
Right. They digitally grafted.
Not in all the scenes, because a lot of the scenes are shot in, you know, different takes where Armie Hammer, right, like.
But just is playing both parts.
Right.
But
really, when I realized that, too, I'm like, so he had to learn, like, two different.
And plays them differently.
Scripts. Yes.
He creates two different characters. Absolutely.
They look exactly alike, but they have a slightly different way of saying things. And the looks that they give. Obviously, the hair helps and stuff. But
right. It's a really good performance and a really hard part to play, I think, for the reasons that we were just talking about, where it's so easy for us to hate him. We mm-hmm. want to hate him. You know, we come into it like, you guys are the worst. but they're not, you know, and they are sympathetic. And it's a really good performance. Here's what I can't gather, though. So Josh Pence tells a story in this documentary, like, oh, and then I found out, like, my face wasn't going to be in the movie, and I cried, but then I thought, well, it's still an opportunity to work on this movie with these people, and, I mean, you get where he's coming from.
Right, and how great of him to say that. It's so big of him, and, you know.
But we didn't finish the documentary. Maybe they answered this. I couldn't get a sense of, like, was this always David Fincher's plan? Because at a certain point, once that decision is made and they know that, okay, for certain shots when they're both in the same frame, they're going to digitally put Armie Hammer's face on this body, which almost just seems like, well, we do it because we can, because David Fincher is all about pushing certain technologies forward, even though you probably could have. I mean, Dead Ringers didn't have that technology and they still put two Jeremy Irons in the same frame. With weird vagina instruments, but and which is one thing that Social Network is missing.
Right.
Once that decision is made, like, Armie Hammer still then has to go back and reshoot.
Yeah.
All of the other stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? So is that really all reshoots, or is that?
I don't know.
I don't either.
Maybe they did talk about that. I don't know.
Right. We didn't get to that point. But as I was watching,
remember when we saw it the first time? I mean,
Social Network.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
It was seamless. We were like, oh my gosh, you never notice.
Yeah. And actually, I think even in the credits,
my students are always super impressed to find that out after, because I don't tell them till after.
Well, and it's harder to do now, I think, because maybe more people have seen Armie Hammer. I mean, he's not in a ton of stuff. He was in, like, J. Edgar, and he's in Lone Ranger, that genius movie.
the listeners can't see how I'm trying to act it out, and I don't even know what
this
is.
She was doing Johnny Depp's Tonto. She put a dead bird on her head, adopted a funny accent, and became very pretentious and overrated. So he's more of a movie star now. When Social Network came out, people didn't know who Armie Hammer was, so we just assumed he had a twin brother. So you didn't know that, like, he's not a twin?
Right.
In the credits, I mean, they're credited as two different people. Right. It doesn't say, like, Aaron.
It says that both twins are played by Armie Hammer, and then it says just one twin is played by
Josh. Oh, is
Josh
that what
Pence.
It says?
Yes.
Okay. That's crazy.
Aaron and Tyler Winklevoss.
Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer. And
got
then
it.
Just
what's
one of them.
What's a weirder name? Like, Aaron and Tyler or Armie? By the way, Aaron and Tyler are not weird names.
No,
but
they're
Armie
not.
Is a weird name. Right. He was going to be Batman back when George Miller was doing, like, an all motion capture Justice League movie a couple years ago. He was going to be Batman.
What happened?
The movie fell.
What happened?
the, the movie fell apart. And it's all for the better because now we get George Miller's Mad Max Fury Road and we get Zack Snyder's Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Visionary director Zack Snyder. I'm so sorry.
There you go. Okay, so Armie Hammer, I had read that when he came in to audition, he was auditioning for something else and that they saw him and the
was
look.
He auditioning? Who?
I don't know.
Who
would he
be auditioning for?
I don't know. Maybe I made this
Eric
up.
Eric Albrecht?
Yes. They put on some falsies. Do people call them falsies?
I assume so. Are we talking about eyelashes?
Yep.
Okay. Then yes, that's the correct term.
I had always heard that he came in and auditioned for maybe Eduardo?
Interesting.
I don't know. That could be totally wrong.
Right.
Again, I'm going to Google this after the podcast and be like,
welcome
am
to
I
stories that didn't happen.
Yes, right. Bye.
Welcome to inaccuracies about the social network. I feel like the second he walked in the room, they would be like, yeah, don't bother reading for Eduardo. You are clearly the Winklevoss
twins. But that's what I had heard.
Yeah.
That they were like, oh gosh, you're right.
You're them, whatever. Or at least one of them, right. But probably both. Don't tell Josh
Prince.
Yeesh. So there's two aspects of the movie that I want to talk about. I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff that I want to talk about because I know you want to talk more about Andrew Garfield, how much you love him, and how much he breaks your heart.
Just everything.
Jesse Eisenberg, who I think doesn't get enough credit for how good he is in this movie because I think people just...
They think that's him.
They think that's him, and he plays this kind of part a lot.
Right.
Fast-talking, smart, condescending, bookish, you know.
But there's more going on here with their very subtle... like things they do with their eyes and their...
He's very, very, very good in the movie. I really think... I mean, again, everybody is because Andrew Garfield is really good too. Mm-hmm. There are a few just reaction shots where you can see that he's just like devastated and it's all done without words and it's really, really solid. I think Justin Timberlake is really good and I think his casting is very smart because it... I mean, it almost falls under kind of stunt casting. But when you want to introduce Sean Parker into the movie and you have built him up as kind of a rock star, it makes sense to go out and cast a rock star, you know, I mean, not a pop star, whatever, but somebody who comes with his own baggage, who is kind of already larger than life, who is known for being very successful with women, who has a lot going for him, you know.
Right.
All of the baggage that Justin Timberlake brings into the movie by virtue of the fact of being Justin Timberlake
Good baggage.
Yeah, right. It all works for the character of Sean Parker.
Right.
And he also is great in the movie. And we were just commenting last night when
we
watched it.
I love that first scene with what's her face?
50 Shades.
Yeah. Dakota.
And you had commented that remains your favorite performance of hers.
Yeah, I love her in that scene.
What about Ben and Kate?
Oh.
The short-lived Fox show that we tried to like so hard.
Oh.
We kept trying to like it. And then Fox made the decision for us. And we said, thank you, Fox.
Thanks, Fox.
We're free. It's the only time I've ever said thanks, Fox.
Mm-hmm.
That and when they renewed Herman's head. So he's great in that scene. But he's great at the end, too, when he is trying to be all tough and is telling Andrew Garfield to leave, and he's all smart-ass and confident.
Oh, my gosh, that's my favorite scene in the
whole
movie.
When Andrew Garfield acts like he's going to hit him, which, by the way, he has every right to do, and Timberlake immediately turns into just a giant pussy. Like, he's so afraid in that moment. And it's a really, really good piece of acting.
When he says, Sean Parker says, oh,
bring
hang
it on down to Omelette Bell.
I almost forgot. Here's your $19,000. I wouldn't cash it, though. I drew it on the account you froze. And Eduardo, like, quickly goes to punch Sean in the face. And Sean, like, Justin Timberlake flinches back. And then the look on his face. And Eduardo says, I like standing next to you, Sean. It makes me look so tough. Oh, my gosh. I think Andrew Garfield's so good in that moment. I love it.
And then
he
fires his web slingers into the sky and swings away.
Wait, can we go back for a second, though? You know what else I love, love,
love? This podcast is nothing if not chronologically organized.
I know. Sorry, you guys.
No, it's fine. It's fine. This is what we do.
I know. I knew this was going to happen, though, because I thought... I've always wanted to do a podcast on The Social Network with you because I love it and I keep loving it more and more.
Right.
And then as we're getting ready to do it, I think it's going to be just me going, I love it. I love it. I love the music. This I love
is
it
why,
all.
This is why some movies that I love very, very much don't have their own podcasts because what am I going to say about Back to the Future? You know, it's just going to be like, and isn't this great? And isn't this great? And we certainly do that. Last week, Doug and I did a show on Clueless where both of us were just like, Clueless is so good. So it does happen. But when you're really close to a movie, it can be hard.
Right.
Okay. And so, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, sorry. So when Sean Parker says, you think we were going to let you...
on down. I'm not going to stop. You think I'm going to stop? I'm not going to.
I'm bringing sexy bag. Yep.
Yep.
When he says, you think we were going to let you parade around in your ridiculous suits pretending you were running this company? And Eduardo Saverin says, sorry, my pride is at the cleaners along with my hoodie and my fuck you flip-flops, you pretentious douchebag. I love that part so much because, again, I think that it's saying more than what it's saying. I don't know, or just like commenting on a little something in our world that, I don't know, maybe no one else feels that way, but I love it, love it, love it. Oh, so good.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
There's two major aspects of the movie that I want to talk about. One of which is, to what degree do you think the movie bears a responsibility to be historically accurate? This is the NPR section of our podcast.
History. I have to admit, I wish it was a lot more accurate than it probably is.
Why do you wish that?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is it because you want to watch it knowing these are the things that actually happened?
Yeah.
Or is it because you want to come away from the movie informed?
Mm, I like being informed.
Just because you watch The Social Network. Like, I don't have to do any extra work.
I like reading books and newspapers actually as well.
I know you do. You totally do. But I just wonder because, again, it's rare for... And I know Zuckerberg at the time even kind of said, like, yeah, I wish they weren't making a movie about me. Like... I'm still alive. I'm 26 or 27. Right, like, it's weird to be made the villain of this multi-million-dollar Hollywood movie.
Right.
And it's weird. People have very different opinions on the subject. I am okay with it being a fiction.
Right.
I mean, should they have changed the names? I don't know. Would that make it a better movie? Not necessarily.
I think that's kind of what's so interesting about it, though, is that... It's the creation with the real people's names and
but if it's
like
telling
something
the
that
wrong
happened in our
story,
lifetime so recently.
But if it's telling the wrong story, then it's not really fair. My issue is more like, I'm fine with it being a fiction. My concern is that a lot of people will come away assuming that it's the truth.
Well, definitely. Right, because again, it's based on, there's some truth in there. You know,
well,
so
I saw The Social Network, so I know that these things happen.
Based on a true story and automatically go, I mean, there are other movies that will say based on a true story, and it's like, there's nothing really real in the script at all.
American Sniper, what's that? I didn't hear what you said. The only thing real in that movie was the baby.
Oh my God.
So, I'm okay with it. With them using this story and creating the character of Mark Zuckerberg. Like, I have no idea how much this character has in common with the actual Mark Zuckerberg, except like the clothes and the fact that he invented Facebook.
Could we call someone right now and ask them?
Let's call MZ.
Sorkin.
So I don't, but I'm okay with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I know a lot of people aren't. A lot of people feel like, no, the movie has a responsibility to tell the facts accurately.
See, and I think what happens is a lot of people will see it, and then when they find out that not as much was not real, they get mad, and then they almost, like, they don't
then
like
the movie.
The
becomes
movie.
Bad.
Right, and I never understand that. Like, if you had a good time, well, no, it's not like you had a good time.
It's not the movie's job to teach you about... This. It's the movie's...
If you liked the movie and then you find out that Erica Albrecht wasn't a real person in real life, you don't have to hate the movie just because... Do you know what I'm saying?
Is that true if it's a documentary? If you find out that a documentary comes out and it takes you on this huge emotional journey and you come out the other side of it like, wow, I really went through something, right? Mm-hmm. And then 3 months later, you find out the documentary was manipulated, staged, whatever, faked.
Right.
Do you no longer like the movie?
It depends on the degree of staging, I think. The
degree
of...
It was all staged.
If it was all staged, then I guess you could still like it, but it's disappointing that it pretended to be a documentary, which is supposed to be nonfiction.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, no, I don't think there are answers to these questions. I'm just asking because, again, that emotional experience that you had is not invalidated.
Right, right.
Unless you're like, well, I was manipulated and therefore...
Well, because if you feel like you were having the emotional response because you were thinking, this happened to real people, this was real life, and then it's not, you feel a little cheated, I guess, out of that.
Well, again, it all goes back to like...
put out or whatever.
It all goes back to the ending of... Inception, like,
oh right,
which also came out in 2010, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
Where Cillian Murphy goes through that experience, but it's all being faked. But the point isn't, the point is the emotional catharsis. It's not the way that you get there. So just because he's manipulated doesn't mean that his catharsis isn't real. Sure. And that's very much what that movie is about. Right. It's about like, yeah, we manipulate you into feeling certain things. That's what movies do. That's what Inception is doing, right? So if a documentary doesn't... Yeah, I mean, the problem is, right, it shouldn't be called a documentary if it's all faked. But does it become now a movie that I don't like?
Right.
Even though I still had that same emotional experience. And I feel like the same about The Social Network. Again, I don't confuse it with a documentary about the creation of Facebook. I think it's a movie written by people, acted by people, directed by a person.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesse Eisenberg creates a very compelling character of Mark Zuckerberg that I don't confuse with the actual Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, and he himself said that he would try to study Mark Zuckerberg from photographs and interviews, and he read about him. And then when he was actually, you know, filming the movie... Right. That all was lost immediately. Like he said, it just went away. He wasn't trying to like copy or imitate that he couldn't even. Like.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, unfortunately in a lot of biopics, which this really isn't, performances become imitation. They cease to be characters and it's just a really good impersonation.
Right.
And some of my favorite biopics have nothing to do with Johnny Depp and Ed Wood is nothing like the actual Ed Wood, but he creates a compelling character who happens to be named Ed Wood, you know, so I'm okay with that.
Right.
I know a lot of people, I remember in 2008 or 2010, there being a big debate about like the movie and how much we should like this movie based on how much of it is fiction. Right. And I don't know how much that matters to me.
I don't know either. But I mean, I guess it is kind of fun sometimes when you feel like you really learned something.
When you can, when the movie ends and you can turn to the person next to you and say, I can't believe that actually happened. Which is Doug's story about seeing the general's daughter, everyone.
Oh my God.
As soon as it ended, the women in front or behind him, you were with him,
by the way. I know, I was.
Turned to one another and said, Doug, I can't believe that actually happened. Which is the best response to a movie no one has thought of in 15 years. here's the other thing I want to bring up. There's other stuff we can talk about,
how great
too.
The music is?
Yes.
Oh, the music's so good.
Yes.
Because sometimes it's so ominous and it could be in like a scary movie or horror film.
Yeah.
But really they're just talking about coding and one character's leaving to go back to the dorm room to like write some computer code. But there's, because again, and this is what I like so much about it and why I feel like it has this important place in our recent history. Because good things were happening, right? This was good for people. There are obviously billions of people who use it that it's been good for. I myself have admitted recently that I always had a love-hate relationship with Facebook that lately is more based in love, because I think it does keep people connected. You're able to easily keep in touch with people who are far away. I've gotten to know people better because you see, hey, we have things in common. Oh, look, they do things I like to do and vice versa. And then you connect much more easily than if you never saw each other in a year, you run into each other. And
that's
just,
all thanks
you make stupid
to Jesse Eisenberg.
Talk. Thank you. Right. See, a movie should be real. okay. So love-hate relationship with Facebook. It is important, but at the same time that all these good things are happening, there is this sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not sad, opportunistic or backstabbing, just this undertone of it's not going to work out perfectly for everybody involved,
right,
you know,
right.
That there's, and maybe part of, almost like a mystery element too, to the movie too, like that, to the music.
Okay.
Because you don't know for sure. Like, did he steal their idea? Did he go against Eduardo?
Right.
Like, what's the truth? You know, I don't know.
And we never really find out, which again, the movie is smart about just presenting essentially three different versions of the truth.
Right.
Kind of Rashomon in that way. I'm a little irritated that now just every David Fincher movie that comes out like has to be scored by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. But whatever. So
good here.
One of the things that Aaron Sorkin talks about, though, is that this is a movie about betrayal. Yes, of course. It's kind of this big tragic story about betrayal and greed. More than once I've read, you know, he throws this word greed around. Mm-hmm. Do you think that it's a movie about greed?
Not really.
Okay. So why does Aaron Sorkin keep saying that?
Maybe
I don't know.
Greed on other... I don't know.
Money's a big part of it.
Right.
Right?
Right. But then the major, like the main characters, Eduardo is... I don't see him as being greedy, but he's trying to protect Mark Zuckerberg, who more than once they make reference to the fact that, like, he doesn't really care about money. He gave away the first,
well, that's the thing.
You know,
he doesn't...
thing he created for free. And
that was Sean Parker.
No.
Oh.
Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah, Zuckerberg did too. Created, that's right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was
the
music. The
MP3
app,
thing.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
He betrays his best friend.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't do it out of greed. So why does he do it?
I read somewhere, maybe an Ebert review, I don't remember, that he doesn't really know because it's not that he's not smart enough, because obviously he's super smart, but like there's a social element that he doesn't always
Wait a minute.
Get.
So. Is this title ironic? It is a little bit. I mean, then
end
that's,
of podcast.
And that's not a mistake, you know.
Right.
But
no,
I always,
no, right.
The title's
well,
a little bit.
The fact that the last line of the movie, not spoken but on screen, do you remember what it is?
Baby, you're a rich man.
Baby, you're a rich man. It's his face, and he's staring at the computer screen.
Right.
I do think that works, even though it's, you know, made up. That,
yeah.
You know, he could have everything now, right? He has all this money, and he has... like the biggest company in the world, or it will be, or
youngest
whatever.
Billionaire ever.
That's what they say at the
Got
end.
It.
And it's his face kind of just staring at that screen going, hey, she's still not accepting me as a friend. But like, so you can have everything, but not have everything, right?
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Mind blown. So
profound.
So, but what you've just said now.
What did I say? I don't know.
I don't know. So we didn't really answer this other question.
No,
about
what was the other
greed.
Question?
Well, it's,
oh,
I don't think it's
oh,
a story about
because
greed
in the Ebert review,
even though it's
I
about
think
people backstabbing.
It might not have been the Ebert review. Right. That, but it was something about how Zuckerberg, like, Sean Parker writes himself in and kind of writes Eduardo out, and that
Zuckerberg goes along with it because he desperately wants to be cool. I mean, that's one of the underlying
right.
things. First,
he
wants to be cool to the Winklevi. He wants to row crew. He wants to be this guy. He can't be. So then Sean Parker says, well, you could be this guy.
Right.
And so he wants to be that guy, and he sells
going
out.
To Case Equity and his robe and all that stuff.
Right. Like, and so he sells out his best friend. But yeah, it's just the desire for money never seems to really drive any of the characters.
No, maybe Sean Parker.
Maybe.
But he's not.
But he would say no. You know, I mean, the version of Sean Parker that we see in the movie is the one who's saying, hold off on making money.
I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm a fan.
Right.
I'm just giving you.
And obviously, he's just a bullshitter, you know.
right.
He gave away his first thing for free and blah, blah, blah. Which, by the way, if you guys haven't seen, is that Downloaded? Is that
what
the movie's
is that
called?
Documentary?
Alex Winter's documentary. I think it's called Downloaded. It's,
oh, it's
the
really
Napster
good.
Documentary. And the real Sean Parker is in it a lot. And the other guy, Sean Fanning, who when we were watching this, I was so confusing them. And I was like, no, Sean Fanning seemed like really normal. And like, oh, I had them confused. Sean Parker is the douchebag.
Okay. Yes, I knew. I knew who they were.
You did. You absolutely did. So you talk about that last shot. Where he has everything and yet he has nothing, right? He's Charles Foster Kane, right?
Right, right.
And we could talk about the comparisons to Citizen Kane because I think there are many.
My students in the film class that I teach, they compare the films, they compare the characters,
right.
And it's really interesting. Yeah,
and that's who he is at the end of the movie, right? He has everything and nothing. But one of my issues with the movie, if I have an issue with the movie, again, I'd like this movie a lot. I know it was one of my favorite movies the year it came out. I think I might have put it at like number two. This was the first year that we did our favorite movies show because 2010 was the, yeah, because that was the first year of the podcast. I know Inception was my favorite movie that year, but I might have had Social Network at number two. The point is this, everyone, one of my issues with the movie that I was trying to bring up to you as we were watching it, and then we were all, save it for the podcast, is that I feel like Aaron Sorkin's script and or David Fincher's direction, which, by the way, is crazy. Mm-hmm. And we could talk, I guess, separately about David Fincher. But I'm a little bit hit or miss on David Fincher. I recognize he's a very, very talented director, particularly technically. I really like a couple of his movies. I think a couple of his movies are okay. There's a few that I really kind of am not crazy about. And watching that documentary and the fact that he's having them do 90 takes of things and giving them line readings on almost every single... I mean, I know he's kind of a control freak, but the picture that's painted of him in the documentary is like, he's really a control freak.
I have liked his films a lot.
He's a super talented guy, yeah. You know. I'm not the biggest Girl with the Dragon Tattoo fan. I'm not the biggest Benjamin Button fan.
Right.
Gone Girl's pretty good, yeah, you know. Like I could totally watch Gone Girl if it comes on HBO a lot, which it has been doing lately. The point is this. I feel like either Sorkin's screenplay or David Fincher's direction or whatever, that the whole story is essentially contextualized as like, he's bitter about a girl. Mark Zuckerberg creates Facebook because a girl rejects him.
It opens and closes with Erica.
Right. And there's this scene in the middle where, because you were saying like, no, I don't know if it does. And then we get to that scene in the middle where he goes to her in the bar and he like... does his best to apologize, is incapable of apologizing,
right.
Which again speaks to this thing that like, you're not an asshole, you're just trying so hard to be. Like, no, if he was trying hard to be an asshole, right. He wouldn't have, if he wasn't an asshole, he would have apologized. Right. The point.
But I also think in that scene, sorry, that she kind of doesn't give him a chance to, and then he doesn't know how to communicate anything else. Like, he just doesn't even know how to... But anyway, sorry.
Sure, no, you're right. She doesn't.
She doesn't give him a chance to, and then he doesn't know how to say, wait, hold on, or I don't know.
But at any time, standing there, he could have just said, like, I'm sorry.
Right.
If that was really his goal.
Right.
It wasn't. You know, it was to talk to her and try to get her back and whatever.
Okay.
So they have that altercation, and she basically says, please go away. You know, we're not going to be friends. But we don't know each other. And then immediately he's like, we have to expand. And that's the thing that like drives him through the second half of the movie. So at several key moments, it is his relationship to his rejection by this girl that essentially drives what it is he does. And I don't want to say I have a problem with that because, again, it's not like I don't think that's really what happened. I've already said I don't care. I just don't think that that's as interesting a story as almost everything else. And yet, if you boil it down, that kind of is the story.
I still think it's okay.
All right, then.
They needed something, right, to bookend the movie. Let it be about a girl.
This is my whole Jurassic World podcast. Summarize. It's been an hour. Like, here's the things I didn't like. And then at the end, it's like, yeah, but it's still good. I'm just like, all right, then why did I bother trying to explain all that?
No. I see what you're saying. You're right. I mean, I think you're right, but...
I don't have to be right.
I don't know.
I'm just looking for...
Right. I don't know. Was he trying to... It never really bothered me. But maybe that's because I just love a little romance in there, you know?
This is the opposite of romance.
I know.
This is the anti-romance.
But maybe he was trying to appeal to as many people as possible, so he thought that would be, or it's just a really easy screenwriting trick,
and I guess that's what it is.
It opens and closes with her, and that does make the point at the end, right? Like you said, that he's, I don't know.
To me, it seems easy, and it's one of these things that Aaron Sorkin falls back on a lot.
Right, Sorkin does love to have that.
Right. It simplifies, I think, too much of what's going on in the movie. I'm fine with that early breakup scene. That's a great scene and immediately tells us a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And immediately tells us a lot of things
right.
about this Mark Zuckerberg character.
I do think that opening scene, though, is hard for some people. You know, it opens up, they're in the bar, and I love that it feels like you're in the bar with them, and that's what a college bar sounds like. There's so much noise, and to talk to the person sitting in front of you, you have to yell.
And that's one of the things that we saw in the documentary was that the extras were all talking at full volume, but it wasn't this thing where they're all pantomiming, and then they loop in ambient crowd noise.
Yes.
They really were talking full volume so that the two actors had to
kind of
shout to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's incredibly believable, but I think that sometimes for people that's hard, if they just sit down and watch the movie and not really know much about it or whatever, that they feel, I mean, my students have even had, you know, issues with, like, I can't tell exactly what they're saying. It's hard to.
Well, they talk very fast. Yes. They're very smart. And
it's hard to. You.
The movie expects you to keep up.
Yes. Yeah. So it's hard the first time, maybe, but then after seeing the movie a couple times, that opening scene, again, is so great because it sets up so many things. And on a different note, kind of, Eduardo's first appearance in the movie sets up, like, his character perfectly, I think. He comes in, right? Isn't it the first time we see him? Isn't it when he comes in to see Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg's blogging about...
I've never seen this movie.
He's... Oh, my
yeah.
God. You're doing a really great job talking about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
I would have never known.
That's fine. That sounds right.
Yeah, and he says, like, how are you? Are you okay? Or something.
Right, he's concerned because he heard about the breakup.
And Zuckerberg says something, I need your code. I need some formula.
I need the algorithm.
Right, the algorithm, right.
Which in a different movie would make me furious if characters were just like, I need the algorithm. but in this movie, it's fine.
But the way that Eduardo is so genuine with his response of, like, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, first he says, I need you. And he's talking about the algorithm. But before he says that, I need you. And Eduardo kind of, like, sits on the desk and says, like, okay, I'm here. Because he is a genuine good person.
Right.
Who understands how to be in a friendship relationship, you know. It just sets up his character for the whole movie. I think it's really great.
So he's established to be a good person. And I actually think the Winklevoss twins are established to be good people.
Yeah.
Sean Parker is not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is. I don't think there's a moment where we see Mark Zuckerberg's decency.
Hmm.
And so, I mean, I certainly understand why he as a real person would be kind of offended by the movie's portrayal of him.
Right.
Because, again, they're saying this is who he is. This is his name. These are the things that he did. And yet it perhaps bears very little resemblance to who he actually is in real life. So, again, if I'm Mark Zuckerberg, I understand, I understand why Mark Zuckerberg would not like this movie.
Right.
Assuming he's seen it. I don't even know that he has.
The day that it opened, didn't he go on Oprah and give away $1 million to some education fund or a school district or something?
I know he did that. I didn't realize it was in conjunction with the release of the movie.
I thought so. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think the movie did any damage to his image. You know, I don't think anyone has ever been like, ooh, that Mark Zuckerberg, he's a scumbag because I saw that movie Social Network. Like, for whatever reason. And I don't even feel like the movie has really... Maybe it's too soon to tell. It's only been 5 years. But I really, at the time, thought that this was All the President's Men. You know, like, this is the movie that really does kind of document a specific moment in history that's important. I haven't yet seen the cultural impact of The Social Network. Wow. And what if there isn't one?
Does anything have a cultural impact anymore?
Though? I don't know. A Jurassic World seems to be, but not really. You know what I mean?
Really.
It's making a shitload
of
money. But that's true of Avatar. And Devin Faraci, I think, has said that before. I think it's Devin Faraci, has pointed out that despite being the highest grossing movie of all time, Avatar has had no cultural impact. It has not influenced anything. Most people aren't really talking about it. It's just this movie they saw a couple years ago that they liked and was entertaining. And it started the bullshit 3D boom.
Right.
But that's not the same thing. That's a business decision.
I just feel like there's so many choices for us now for entertainment and that everybody's in their separate little, I don't know. There's nothing leaves a lasting impression or a lasting or people just don't hold their excitement for very long. It's like, yay, this is awesome, moving on to the next thing. They see a movie that they love, they might really love it and they're excited, and then they go home and they just start playing a video game, and then, like, the experience they just had is forgotten because it's met with this new one, and then in bed later they're texting all night while they're falling asleep, and then the next day they're doing something else. It's just like we're constantly being entertained in a billion different ways. So we don't know. I don't think it's hard, because in the movie, like, in our community of F This Movie fans and other podcasts and websites and whatnot, of course, we have a lot of people like us who love movies and want to talk about them. But in the greater world,
where things are greater. movies are just kind of entertainment. I mean,
right. And there's just so much
one kind of entertainment among. The Social Network might as well be a cooking show on Bravo. You know, it's just something that you can
consume. But we just move on from one thing to the next, and one thing to the next. And
I would argue, and not that I just...
People don't take time to reflect on the thing that they really liked.
Why would they? Right. I bring this up only because I'm sitting here trying to think of it. I know that there have been movies since Inception to have a cultural impact. But I think Inception did have a cultural impact.
Yeah.
And not just because every trailer that we see now has like, bah! I know. But also because...
That really did work for me, though, for a long time.
Because it's the kind of thing where you could say to somebody like, well, does the top fall or does it stay up? And they'll know mm-hmm. what you're talking about.
Right.
Or even just it's become a kind of shorthand when you're talking about like trying to plant an idea in someone's head or whatever. It's like, ooh, I'm incepting you.
Right.
Ha, ha, ha.
Right.
So it
so
has...
So what has been since then?
No, I have no idea.
Right. Okay. Leave that in the comments.
Yeah, please do.
Sorkin.
Please.
Sorkin. Wait, what was our new podcast?
I already forgot the name of it. So Sorkin. We'll have to start. Well, what was that Reese Witherspoon, Sofia Vergara movie that came out earlier this year?
Changed my life.
That
kind of
had a cultural
life.
Impact, right? I feel like I literally can't remember
Ladies
the name of that
are
movie.
Doing it.
What the hell is the name of that movie?
Spy. No, that was Melissa McCarthy. And
it
she's
had,
funny.
By the way, that came and went.
I know, but she's
the
funny.
Reese Witherspoon movie had the name of another movie, like
Spy Girls.
It wasn't Spy Girls.
Okay.
It was
Lady Cops.
I don't think it was Lady Cops.
Lady Cops.
I think I would have seen a movie called
Girls.
Lady Cops. Detective Girls again. I might have seen. Lady Cops I for sure would have seen.
Yeah, you would have.
I'm looking it up because
okay.
I feel like... I know it's
Sofia
the name
Vergara.
Of another Hot Pursuit. How did
hot
I not come up with
pursuit.
Hot Pursuit, which is the name of a John Cusack movie from the 80s.
Oh.
That's not a very good John Cusack movie, but...
John Cusack in the 80s.
But again, at what point do you just say like, oh, there's already a movie called that? Let's come up with something else.
Lady Cops.
We don't have, right.
Right?
Yes. We don't have to call this movie Hot Pursuit. It means nothing except, I guess, the characters are being chased and one of them is hot. So it has a double meaning. Whatever.
Oh.
Movies make me hate movies. Do you have anything else that you want to say about The Social Network?
One of the lines that I quote the most, which is so stupid, but I love it.
Go ahead.
You're asking me to believe that the CFO of Facebook doesn't know how to change his relationship status on Facebook?
Nice. I like it.
Should I do it again?
Please do.
No.
That's the girl who's yelling at Eduardo,
yes.
Right?
Yes. She was from the real world, right?
Was she from the real world?
Maybe not.
She might be.
Look her up. You're asking me to believe that the CFO of Facebook doesn't know how to change his relationship status on Facebook?
And the movie does not have, I don't think...
She's so mad because she texted him. Oh my gosh, that's so funny too. When were you going to call me and answer one of my 47 texts? Did you know I sent 47 texts? I did, and I thought that was incredibly normal behavior, is what Eduardo says. So funny.
Well, he can do no wrong in your eyes. Let's face it.
Oh.
You know, when the movie came out...
Do you think I could meet the real Eduardo?
Are you interested in meeting the real Eduardo, or
no.
Are you interested
in meeting
Andrew Garfield
as Eduardo?
Because I feel like that's where your heart lies. You know, when the movie came out, it was sort of criticized for being misogynistic, and I know Aaron Sorkin responded by saying, "Well, I wrote a movie about, you know, characters who were angry and misogynistic." You know, Erica Albrecht, I think, skates. Because she is the victim in her situation. You know, I certainly think there are certain damaged men who could watch that and be like, oh, she's cold and mean to him because they just already don't like women. And so when they see one who is whatever, but they're wrong because there's nothing wrong with her. She's kind of a victim. But, you know, we don't get a lot of female characters. And the few that we do, it's like Dakota Johnson just kind of is there to be in her underwear and sleep with Sean Parker.
Right.
And this character that you're talking about is a crazy girl who lights her gift on fire and you know so I don't think the movie has like the nicest stuff to say about women, but again it's not
Rashida Jones's character, though, as much as you feel like she's unnecessary, because again that character kind of, you know, is she, I feel like her lines are written so specifically to like move something forward or to just get
she
that
is
one
an exposition
idea out,
yes
you know?
She is there just to get out exposition.
Your site got 2,200,
right?
You know,
yes,
whatever, and 22,000 in 2 hours.
And that's why I think it's a little bit distracting that it's a celebrity in the part.
Right.
Like, had they just cast it with whoever, I think I might notice it less. Like, why
I promise you though that a lot of people see it and don't really know.
Well, sure. By the way, the movie's job is not like it does not have to present a well-rounded view of women. You know what I mean? Like, it's not...
I know.
Because it is told from a specific viewpoint.
Right.
And what Aaron Sorkin said is true. The character that he wrote is angry, and specifically angry at girls.
Right.
And so the movie, you know, represents that. The only area where it becomes like, to me, is when I consider it within the larger bodies of work of its creators. And so when I consider it within the David Fincher's body of work and Aaron Sorkin's body of work, both of whom I think have had some issues with representations of women in the past, that's the only time where I'm just like, you know, it's just part of an ongoing trend. And that's where. But it's not, the movie does not have to, not every single movie has to be, you know, everything to everyone.
And just most of the people involved in the lawsuits and the creation of it and all of that were men. So
right, yes. And it is about a specific kind of masculinity. It's almost what you opened up talking about, you know. It's the masculinity of cowards at home sniping from the internet, mm-hmm. which has become the norm now, unfortunately,
gosh,
especially in internet culture. Just today you forwarded me an article, and it was kind of a bullshit list. I don't remember who wrote it, but it was very irritating the way it was written.
The way it was written, right.
But it compiled a lot of comments from reviews that female film critics had written for, like, comic book movies, Expendables 3, possibly Jurassic World, like, just kind of big blockbusters. I won't say that they were geared towards men, because I don't think they are. They're just big blockbusters. But all of these commenters seem to think that women had no business reviewing them.
How dare she not like it? She just doesn't get it because she's a girl.
She's a girl, like, and she has a vagina.
Right. Oh, but they say it in, like, the dumbest, lowest
Oh, no, they're monsters. Right. They're complete monsters. Right. And the people in this movie are not monsters.
No.
But they are the ancestors of monsters. You know what I mean? They are the forefathers of this horrible movement.
Well,
and you see when they're playing that game at the beginning that Zuckerberg invents, where it's who's hotter.
Face mash or hot or not or
whatever it is.
Yeah, it's like
that it all kind of starts there.
Right. Well, I think that scene again, all those scenes and the music is really driving, right? It sounds like they're like going to.
Back to the music. Yes.
Sorry.
The soundtrack of Goodfellas. Go ahead.
Well, because in another movie, that music could be playing like at a club and it's just like.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
That's
like,
kind of the faster.
But
yeah,
it's driving in here. It's their dialogue and what they're doing in a dorm room on the computer, which just watching that is boring, right? But the music, like, helps remind the audience, I guess, that, like, whatever. Okay, so when they're doing that, and then he blogs about Erica, right? And there's that scene where what do you say about her?
Continue.
Okay. Different podcast. Okay. He blogs about his breakup and he says some crass things about her. And it's, you know, that's the sort of thing where before the internet, you would complain to your friends, usually your closest ones, maybe some other people. Maybe you'd complain to like your coworker or a random person you saw at a bar. I don't know. But you complain to people in real life. And then that would sort of be the end of it. Or maybe they would, you know, there'd be some more talk. But that was the end of it. Now you're putting it on the internet, right? And there's that great line about like, the internet's not written in pencil, Mark. It's written in ink and blah, 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 whatever. But
you really know a lot of quotes from this movie.
Are you trying to tell me the CFO of Facebook doesn't know how to change his relationship status on Facebook?
To answer your question, by the way, that actress, Brenda Song.
Brenda Song, yes.
Was not on The Real World.
She wasn't.
Oh. Brenda Song was on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, which I know you watched.
Love it.
As well as in Santa with Muscles with Hulk Hogan.
What? What's Santa with Muscles?
Oh, I assure you, it's a thing. It's a Hulk Hogan movie.
I missed it. When did it come out?
In the 90s.
Okay.
Picture Santa.
I knew her name was Brenda Song. Okay.
Yeah. So picture Santa.
Yeah.
But then he has muscles.
Okay.
It's Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Santa with Muscles.
Okay. So in that scene where Erica's roommate says, he blogged about you, and she gets up and the roommate says, you don't want to read it, but of course they read it. And then a minute later, there's two guys who are in the dorm room. So they kind of know Erica and her roommate, but they don't necessarily know them very well, right? So it's easy for them to come by and make fun of her about her small bra size or whatever he blogged about, you know, and they kind of, and she feels bad. And in that moment, I feel like it's saying so much about what became of our internet culture, because it's so easy now to write something mean about someone that doesn't even have to be true. And then for someone else to read it and act out or say something based on that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because those guys, like, they would have never known that about her if it wasn't the internet, and they would have never bothered her. because they know who she is because they live in the same dorm room, but they don't have a relationship with her, so they don't care about coming by and like making some stupid comment and kind of making her feel bad. It's the creation of many bad things.
It is. Yes. It is. Thanks a lot, Social Network.
Love and hate relationship with everything, the internet.
Anything else that you want to mention, or should we wrap up?
You're asking me to believe that the CFO of Facebook doesn't know how to change the relationship on Facebook.
So, Hoop Dreams.
Oh my gosh, Hoop Dreams is so great.
I'm trying to list your faves.
You guys know I met Arthur Agee and Steve James.
Hoop Dreams, Goodfellas, Social Network. It's creeping in.
You're making my list? This is crazy.
Grease Hairspray?
Oh my, you're making like my Blockbuster shelf when I worked at Blockbuster and I had to pick my employee favorites. It was like Goodfellas.
Were you an employee?
Wuthering Heights. Yes, I was employee.
And those were your favorites?
Yes.
So what part of that doesn't describe your
favorites? Because I feel like we need to add a lot more now.
Well,
no,
sure.
No, because I was only allowed to choose like 5 or 10 and that bothered me. Cause I was like,
well, but remember when we did our favorite movies
episodes,
we only did 5 each. And Hoop obviously
Dreams.
We have more than 5 favorite movies, but Social Network was not in your 5.
Right.
I don't remember exactly what your 5 were.
God. You don't?
No.
You remember like everything else about me.
I do. But I feel like Social Network would be in
Royal
there now.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Something might get bounced.
Royal Tenenbaums.
I don't know what's going out.
I don't know.
But
Social I don't know
Network
if anything's
is squeezing
bounced.
In.
Oh, I don't know. I don't
it's
know.
Happening. It's happening.
No.
Anyway.
No.
Thanks for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
It was fun talking about Social Network.
Did we miss anything?
Oh, I'm sure. For the next 2 days.
Is anyone still listening?
For sure.
Did anyone listen till the end?
For the next 2 days,
okay.
Audience, Erica's going to be walking around the house saying like, oh, after we finished, I thought of this and this and this to say. So,
every time.
You know, you can always add stuff in the comments and talk to people there.
You'll have me there?
No, of course. You're always welcome.
Thank
listen,
you.
Between the hours of 9 and 5, you're welcome. To
Thank
comment.
You. Thank you.
Not outside of that.
After 5, is it what, men only?
Yeah, it's for only. Sure. Yeah. We talk about dude stuff and dick pics. Find our website. Go ahead.
Oh, do you still play that little cute clip at the end of the podcast?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
No. Are we not allowed to talk about it?
I don't call attention to it.
Oh, okay.
So you can find our website at fthismovie.net. Follow us on Twitter. We are at fthismovie. Like our page on Facebook if you haven't already. We have an Instagram. You should go there. Find that.
Facebook.
We're in iTunes. Leave a review if you haven't already. Hopefully it's positive. Thank you to those of you who have taken the time to do that. It's super nice of you guys.
That is really nice. If you didn't like this one, just ignore it.
And you can always email us at fthismoviepodcast@gmail.com. We will be back next week with a show on something. And happy 4th of July, everyone.
Yay!
Thanks, Bew. This was
America,
fun.
America. Independence. Freedom.
Facebook.
Hoop Dreams.
Thanks for listening to FS Movie.